cultural mode stuff. And yes.
Good morning, everyone. And in, let's see, in Roseburg, we can hear a lot of static and background noise, so if you'd be so kind to keep it somewhat quiet there, that would be helpful. We're here in Coos Bay. Thank you so kindly. Good morning, everybody. I call to order the House Committee on Redistricting for today, April 2nd, 2011.
Good morning, everyone. I call to order the Senate Committee on Redistricting for today, April 2nd, 2011.
And I would like to express our appreciation to Southwest Oregon Community College. This is you've ordered up some good weather and some sun today. We're the House and Senate Committees on Redistricting. And I'd also like to acknowledge the presence of Senator Verger. I believe she's here.
Right here.
Oh, hi. There you go. We also have Co-Speaker Roblin here. We have Co-Speaker Bruce Hanna in Roseburg. We also have Representative Tim Freeman. There he is. And Senator Jeff Cruz, who's in Roseburg. Appreciate you being here with us today. And at this time, we'll also take a few minutes just to have the members introduce themselves. And if you'd like to start, Paul.
Paul Holvey, State Representative, South Eugene, Vanita, Lorraine.
Sal Esquivel, Representative, District 6, Medford.
Tobias Reed from District 27 in Beaverton.
I'm Representative Arnie Roblin from right here in Coos Bay, and I want to thank the committee for being here and spending the night and having breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We appreciate all the help.
I'm Joanne Berger, and I represent District 5, and this is my hometown as well, and welcome all of you. It's delightful to have this many representatives and senators here.
And I'm Lee Beyer. I represent Senate District 6, which is Central Lane and Linn Counties.
You already introduced me. Go ahead.
I'm Floyd Przonski, State Senator, District 4. District 4 includes parts of Lane and Douglas Counties.
I'm State Senator Suzanne Bonamici. I represent District 17, which is in the eastern part of Washington County and the western part of Multnomah County.
My name is Sean Lindsay. I represent Hillsborough North Plains, and I'm also co-chair of the House Redistricting Committee this session.
Good morning, I'm Chris Garrett. I'm from Lake Oswego, Oregon, representing District 38, also the co-chair of the House Committee.
Good morning. State Representative Kevin Cameron from South Salem, Almsville, Turner area, representing House District 19.
Thank you. And today we're also being joined via video conference by residents in Roseburg and in Brookings. It looks like Roseburg is the bottom screen there and Brookings is the top screen there. And there are volunteers there who are assisting the committees at each location. Here in Roseburg, we have Corey Norris and Elise Lackey and Robin Wisdom in Roseburg. And we have Alita Mankheimer in Brookings. Are you there, Alita? Good, thank you. Let me just walk you through and give a couple logistics about today's public hearing. As you came in today, each of you were given a handout with several questions, population statistics for local legislative districts, and maps of your district. And when you answer these questions directly, what the committees are hoping to learn are those questions that are pointed out there. We're trying to, the working statute is Oregon Revised Statute 188.010. And there are elements in that statute that are outlined on your handout. We'd like to hear direct testimony on that, specifically about your communities of interest. Communities of interest are not defined by statute, and it's however we define them, and so we'd like to hear what your communities of interest are. If you've brought written testimony, please hand it to the staff when you come up, and if you'd please summarize your testimony instead of just reading it by rote. Let's see here. Also, if you'd like to submit testimony after the hearing, you can also submit it via email at the following website address. And I'll give that to you now, www.leg.state.or.us/redistricting. And that should be on your sheets as well. The plan today is to rotate through each hearing location and hear from groups, panels of two or three. And also, by the way, we have this fun little device up here. It looks like a stop sign. Have red, orange, red, yellow, and green. And we're going to give you, we'd ask that you keep your testimonies under 5 minutes. We're flexible, but keep it under 5 minutes. You don't have to use the full 5 minutes, but once we get that red light, there is a secret trap door that will that might open if you go over your time. So, with that, we'll begin right here in Coos Bay, and we'll start with opening remarks from the Southwest Oregon Community College, President Dr. Patty Scott. Dr. Scott, welcome.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you so much for coming to Coos Bay, to the beautiful South Coast. And welcome to our friends in Roseburg, who also represent Southwestern, and to our colleagues in Brookings. Just wanted to tell you a little bit about the Southwestern Oregon District. It runs from Reedsport to the north to Brookings to the south, and then east to Myrtle Point and Powers area.
Dr. Scott,
mm-hmm.
For the record, would you just state your name? Thank you.
Dr. Patty Scott, President of Southwestern Oregon Community College. Sorry.
Thank you.
I wanted to just tell you a little bit. The college, Southwestern Oregon Community College, was the first college that was chartered after the law changed in 1958. And we're going to be celebrating our 50th anniversary on May 1st of this year, 1961. And the reason that story is important is because it was the citizens of the South Coast who were instrumental, particularly the longshoremen, in advocating for that law to change, and they went around the state back in the late 50s to legislate people like yourself to get that law changed. And then we were the first college chartered, and it is a good example of the citizens and the activeness, the forward thinking that the citizens here on the South Coast have. And it's important that we continue to have the representation that we've enjoyed up to this point. The facility that you're in today is the Hells Center for the Performing Arts, named after a couple of our citizens in Coquille who made their living off the land, forestry, and weren't able to access education themselves, wanted to leave a legacy to others, and donated a large chunk of money to the college that enabled us to build this facility. So on behalf of my Board of Education, all the citizens in Southwestern Oregon's district, I welcome you to the South Coast, and I'll echo what Co-Chair Roblin said. Thank you for coming to spending the night. The weather's going to be gorgeous today, and it was a little iffy last night, and although it was gorgeous in Salem yesterday. And thanks for staying in our hotels, eating in our restaurants, and for actually just coming. I would suspect that for some of you, this might be your first time down to this part of the country, and it's a beautiful part of the state, and sometimes we're forgotten. So appreciate you all for coming. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Scott. And actually, before you leave, does anybody have any questions for Dr. Scott? Senator.
Dr. Shaw, all I was going to do is I want to congratulate your culinary school. We actually had the opportunity to have them in Salem. I understand they're going to be going international competition this next year. And they did a wonderful evening to celebrate their achievements.
Yeah, they won a competition a year ago for the right to represent the United States in the Culinary Olympics, which will happen in Germany in October of 2012. So it would be fabulous if some of you could go with us and have an international. I've been working on Representative Roblin to go an international event, because it's a big deal. It's a nice honor for the institution and for Oregon.
Wonderful.
And I'm glad you did enjoy the food that they provided for you on that event in February.
Right. Any other questions? Okay, thank you, Dr. Scott. And before we move on, could we have Let's see, in Cody, Alice, or Robin in Roseburg, could you tell us how many people there are in Roseburg to testify?
We have a total of eight.
Okay. And up in Brookings, Alita, could you tell us how many you have in Brookings?
It looks like we have eight as well.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll start here in Coos Bay, and we'd like to call forward a panel of three, Representative Tim Freeman, Sharon Waterman, and John Schaff. Please come forward. Thank you. And when you come up, if you remember to state your name for the record.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Tim Freeman. I'm a state representative from House District 2, which is the Roseburg area south down I-5. Before I start my prepared remarks, I'd like to thank this committee for all the work that they are doing. I recognize that you're traveling all over the state and spending precious weekend time away from your families to do this hard work, and I do absolutely appreciate how difficult this is and how much effort you guys are putting into it. I've had the chance to work with all of you as colleagues, and I cannot imagine having a better group of people working on this, so thank you. To those that are in Roseburg, my district, thank you for taking the time today to come and testify on behalf of this very important process, and I look forward to hearing your comments. So I want to talk a little bit about my trip over here this morning. I left my house in Roseburg, and in less than 10 minutes, I was out of my house district in House District 1. And I traveled over here today mostly in House District 1 until I was lucky enough to get into Co-Speaker Roblin's district. And that sort of is what I want my testimony to reflect is the challenges of the current district system, House district systems, as it pertains to the community I represent. So really what I want to talk about is a tale of two communities. And I'm going to use two communities that are both in and out of my district. So I want to talk about Winston, and I want to talk about Weimar. So Weimar is in House District 2. I don't know how many of you know where Weimar is. Traveling south on I-5 when you are in Rogue River, the city of Rogue River, if you left the freeway there and went northeast, you would be in the community of Weimar. That is in House District 2. That is in my House District. And it takes approximately the same amount of time to get to Weimar as it does to hear from Roseburg to testify in front of you today. I travel through two other House districts to get back to my House District in Weimar. And interesting enough, as I travel there, I drive right by the city of Winston, which is less than 10 minutes from my house. The representative that represents Winston lives in Gold Beach. He has the same issue when he comes to try to represent that community. So when we talk about communities of interest, Weimar is a wonderful community. I've had the opportunity to meet people and have the pleasure of representing them in Salem from Weimar. They have a wonderful fire district down there that is very active. They have a great school down there that I've been to, and they have a little store that is their community hub. Their community of interest, where they shop, where they go to the doctor, where they consider their area to be and where they get their news from, is Grants Pass. It is not Roseburg. But yet their representative lives in Roseburg. Now let's talk about Winston. Winston, if you live in the community of Winston, your primary shopping area is Roseburg. The newspaper you receive comes from Roseburg. When you go to the hospital, you go to Roseburg. Generally, when you get any sort of medical care, it's in Roseburg. And any sort of going to the movies, any cultural things that you may attend, performing arts center and whatnot, are all in Roseburg. But yet your representative, if you live in Winston, lives in Gold Beach. And you cannot imagine the difficulty of a Gold Beach legislator trying to represent the community of Winston. I am a member of their Chamber of Commerce and help that representative stay in tune with that community, but it makes very little sense to have that particular community attached to a coastal district where they have very little things in common with the economics and the, all the communities of interest, things that go on the coast. So as we set House districts up, I would love for this committee to recognize both the obligation of the legislature to do this, and I understand the difficulties, but also think about communities of interest in a way that make some level of sense. And it's not that I don't like representing the people in Weimar, or in Wolf Creek for that matter. Both of those areas are in my House district. They're both in different counties than the county I live in also. So as a representative, I represent part of three counties. And outside of Douglas County, there is very few people that live in my district, but yet I have to be attached to both of those county commissioners, both sets of county commissioners, both of the judges, and all those things that go on in those counties are different than what goes on in Douglas County. So as you guys look at this and have the opportunity to redraw lines, please keep in mind the communities of interest that make the most common sense. And in my area, that would be the central area around Roseburg. Thank you for the time today. And again, thank you for all the hard work that you're doing. And just to be honest, I'm also here this weekend to watch my son run the track meet. So you will see me slip out. And I very much appreciate the work that you're doing.
My name is John Schaff. I live 12 miles away from Cape Arago. That means I live on the coast. And I'm going to be talking about how I'd like to see the people of the coast have one voice. I'm an old process engineer, and when I look at things like redistricting, I look at it like a process engineer. I want to know what is the central theme for the design. And what I'd like to talk to you about is the future of the coast, 10 years out for this plan, and maybe even 20, 30 years out for the next redistricting plans. Traditionally, it seems like the goal for redistricting is to realign the ballot boxes. And that's done in a partisan way, so each side can get some tactical advantage at the ballot. I'm urging the committees to look at it in terms of economic systems that will be changing in the next 10, 20, 30 years. My point is that Oregon the coast of Oregon will play a central part in the adaptation of the state to the change in energy. The overriding challenge that we have is the end of cheap oil. It'll take several decades for this to play out, but it is starting right now. We have hit the peak of oil supply. That means that we can't produce it, the world can't produce it any faster than it is being produced right now. Coupled with that, the burgeoning or the increasing economies in India, China, Brazil, they're having increased demand on oil, and the price of oil is going to do nothing but go up. Okay, that has impacts on transportation. Oil is being used mainly in the United States for transportation. Back in the Carter areas, we started getting it out of the generation of electricity. We moved to coal, and we moved to nuclear. But it really impacts transportation. So what I see is a switch from cars and trucks to trains and ships.
And Mr. Schaff, if I can just, and sorry to interrupt, but just want to make one point that, and you might be getting there, but today we're focused on redistricting,
right.
and that's the scope of our discussion today. Okay. And you might be getting to that, but I just ask everybody to keep that in mind. Today's comments are on redistricting.
Yep.
Other issues can be addressed somewhere else, but thank you.
Oh,
continue.
I am getting there. Sorry.
Thank you.
Maybe I belabored it too much. The Oregon coast is central to the state because we have a port. That port is going to be a way to move goods in and out of the state. We also are beginning to get a railroad back, and that is going to help move things in and out of the state. All of these changes that are going to happen are going to be coastal changes. So what I'm arguing for is the coastal communities have a single voice. And instead of diluting our voice by pushing the boundaries to the east, we should keep the boundaries located on the western side. There is another part to this energy that affects our coast, and that is the growing need for electrical generation from maybe wave energy. That in particular will affect interest here, like our fishing community. There are conflicting interests that I think that we ought to work out as a one voice and not have it people dictating how we should do it. So that's the central reason why I think that we should be redistrict so that the coast stays a contiguous piece of the puzzle. Okay, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Schaff.
My name is Sharon Waterman. I own and operate R&B Waterman Ranch, LLC, which is a family-owned business whose roots came to Coos County in 1913 when my husband's grandparents came to 4 miles south of Bandon via covered wagon. My concern is last time we did the redistricting, we were lucky because at least we retained our representation with Representative Krieger, and he is on the South Coast. But we love Senator Cruz because he is agriculture oriented, but he's again on the inland section. And the current redistricting requirements are set up to not divide the communities of interest. However, when we went through the process last time, that tended to happen. It's important that for this coastal area that agriculture and timber and the rest of the natural resource fishing is well represented in Salem when we go to the capital. I grew up in the Willamette Valley. The change of the community of interest in the inland areas versus coming down to Coos County are just tremendously different. And unless you have been raised, and I was raised on a farm in the Willamette Valley, and the agriculture that I experienced up there versus what I do now, have done the last 40 years since I've moved to Coos County, are so different. So basically, to make it short and sweet, I would hope that you will keep our coastal area, our natural resource base together when you do look at redistricting our area. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Stay there. We might have some questions. I have a question. I'm looking at there's a Senate District 1, and maybe even Senator Cruz can address this when it's his turn, but I see a line between House District 2 and House District 1. I'm assuming, is that a range? Do you know?
I don't know.
Is that a summit?
Ask.
We'll have Senator Cruz, if you'll address that when you get there.
It's not.
Okay. We'll all ask Senator Cruz
yes,
that once
you do,
it's
yeah.
his turn.
Okay.
Any questions for this panel? Okay. Thank you kindly. Okay. We're going to move to Roseburg now. And if we could have the panel of three come forward, and when you state your name, if you also spell your name, we don't have the list here with us, and we'll go ahead to Roseburg. Thank you.
Good morning, colleagues. Great to see you all on Tuesday this morning. We're going to write Representative Raymond's comments. We appreciate you taking the time to travel the state to hear from Oregon citizens on the redistricting plan. For the record, my name is Bruce Hanna. I'm state representative from House District 7. It's important for you to know, as you look at the map, which is just the identification of all statewide districts, is the 51st
Hey, Speaker Hannah, if you'll just a second, we have a lot of mic feedback. I don't know if someone there is close to the mic or not. If you'll give us just a second. Do we know what that might be? Or?
All right, we'll test where is our mic in this room.
Yeah, if you can find out where the mic is.
Right there,
very sensitive.
What we have is a hanging mic. Does it matter if I change the direction of my voice?
We can hear you just fine, but there is it's very sensitive, papers. Picking up a lot of background noise. So if we could be very sensitive there, that would be...
Not to shuffle papers.
Yeah, no shuffling papers would probably be very helpful.
This room is very quiet.
Yeah, I think the shuffling of papers, if we could hold off on that, that would be helpful. But go ahead and we'll give you back your time. Sorry.
Okay, Just for the record, there's no shuffling of papers. It must be electronic. People are still and quiet in the room. So I don't know where the noise is coming from. Again, House District 7, fifth largest in Oregon, largest in Western Oregon by a fair distance. But to talk a little bit about the points and the issues that we will have not only in southwestern Oregon, but in most of eastern Oregon. Currently, House District 7 is shy by 4,277 people of the new goal of 63,851 per House District. I want to also make sure that everyone here and on the video is aware of the ORS, which really describes what this committee and the legislature as a whole is attempting to do. And that is, in short, districts must be contiguous, be of equal population, be connected by transportation links and geographic or political boundaries, and perhaps most importantly, districts must not divide communities of common interest. Now, I'll give you a brief description. In House District 7, as is the case in most large rural districts, that's going to be a very difficult task, and I believe the committee will have to select from those items among the requirements that are most helpful. I say that because in a district like House District 7, as Representative Freeman mentioned, for me to get to Tiller, which is in House District 7, I could go down I-5, up through Canyonville, through Day Street, which Representative Freeman represents, and on to Tiller. Or I could go up Diamond Lake Highway to Diamond Lake, go through House District 55, and come back into House District 7 from the backside. Those are the kind of things that are typical in rural districts. On the northeast side of my district and Senator Przanski's Senate district, we would leave the Oak Ridge Highway, go up through Lowell, and up and across the Lieber Dam onto the San Yam area to get to another area of our district. Those are issues that I hope that the committee will take into account as they look at communities of common interest. Is the community of Blue River part of rural Douglas and Lane County? Does it do trade? Does it have educational connections? It makes it difficult. And I know you will have very difficult issues to deal with. But please use the ORS to prioritize how you put those districts together. Importantly, as you travel the state and take testimony, I hope you will take into account trying not to do the fingers or peninsulas that are in a number of districts statewide, and that you would not look for safe districts. What we're trying to do here is craft a bipartisan plan. I'm thrilled that you're out in Oregon's communities and involving Oregonians, and stay involved throughout this process, and that you're out meeting with them in their communities, because I believe with strong bipartisan effort of the legislature and of the citizens, we can produce a plan that our government will be proud of and that will serve our state over the next 10 years. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you all for your work. For the record, Jeff Cruz, Senate District 1, and first, Representative Peter Rushton, the division between Senate District 1 or House District 1 and House District 2 is totally arbitrary. There is no defining reason for that separation. In fact, one might suggest that there would be a defining reason not to have those lines where they are. And I say that basically because when you move from Roseburg to Winston, you go through Green, and basically it's all residential. There's really no distinct separations of those two communities, and yet the line is drawn between them there. I would also suggest that it might be helpful for the committee to go and look at the map that was created 20 years ago. And because I think there was some definite compactness in that map and a real desire to address communities of interest that was somewhat lost in the map that was drawn 10 years ago. I'm not going to say that there were political motivations for the way that the map was drawn, but I think one can draw their own conclusions. And it has been a real pleasure for me to represent the South Coast. Representative Krieger and I have been able to make some very positive things for the college and for other things in that region. I've been heavily involved in the Marine Reserve Project, and I actually co-sponsored the bill that's in the House this time. But having said that, I can understand that the redrawing of the lines 10 years ago would have left some folks on their coast feeling they were disenfranchised. Totally understand that. And I think that's something that needs to be taken into consideration. When I was first elected to the House in 97, my House district was Roseburg, Sutherland, and White. Now, you want to talk about a community of interest, that clearly was one, because Sutherland and White both fed into Roseburg. Now, when you have, like Representative Hannah said, he goes clear around and clear down south. White pillar in House District 7 and in House District 2. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I think some of the arbitrary decisions that were made 10 years ago need to be looked at in a very deliberate way. There are ways to ensure that communities of interest are represented. Now, having said that, when you look at Senate District 1 and you look at the concerns of the communities, they're pretty much the same because we're all natural resource-based communities and we're all under the same burden, whether you're talking Douglas County or Curry County. However, I think it is important for the citizens to feel that their representation is of the type that they feel more connected to. I do my very best to get down to the South Coast as often as I can, but keep in mind that for me to drive from my house to Brookings is a 3.5-hour drive. So it's not something I can do on a weekly basis, obviously. Representative Krieger and I actually held town halls last weekend, and I tried to make my visits to that part of my district 4 or 5 times a year. Now, I'm clearly representing lives there, so we can be much more connected, and we have found a way to work together to make sure that we're both informed, because it's a long way for him to get to Winston, it's close for me, so we work together to make sure that we're all connected on the subject matter.
Senator Cruz, I just wanted to give you a heads up. You don't have the device in front of you there, but I wanted to let you know that the yellow lights come on, which means you got about just under a minute left. I just wanted to let you know that.
Okay. The real point I want to make get a bipartisan map out of this legislative assembly. I'm hoping we will be able to do it for the first time in 40 years. What Representative Hanna talked about are the absolute things that we need to consider, and we need to make sure that communities feel connected to the process. We're not sure what the current map is. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And instead of having a third person come up, our camera is trained just on the front two desks there, so we'll just do panels of two there in Roseburg. And so we'll ask questions of this panel. But my first two comments were, number one, I think it was Speaker Hanna mentioned something about safe districts. And I've been reading this book here, which is A Citizen's Guide to Redistricting, which is available on the redistricting website. And there's one paragraph that really caught my eye. It says that in 2006, 38% of the time, either a Democrat or a Republican did not even bother running for a House or a state legislative seat, 38% of the time. And in federal races, 86% of the elections for the House of Representatives were won by more than double-digit margins, which most political scientists would call that a safe win. So I get the safe argument. I would love to see hearty competition in every district. The second thing I wanted to note was that we are not only charged with drawing legislative districts, House districts and Senate districts, but also congressional districts, the five congressional districts. And I'd hope that we'd get some comments today on the congressional lines as well when you're speaking. So questions for this panel? Representative
Holby. Thanks, Representative Hanna and Senator Cruz. Great to see you. I just had one question. You talked a little bit about, and Representative Freeman also talked about the Roseburg-Winston area. And I was, Senator Cruz mentioned that if I'm not mistaken, that there was residential area completely around or in between Roseburg and Winston. And I was just wondering how those. The UGBs of Roseburg and Winston, do they hit each other? They join up together, and are those? I'm just kind of curious how that works out down there.
Thank you for the question, Representative Bowley, members of the committee. You know, the UGBs don't connect with each other. But keep in mind that. We have been depressed counties for a long time, and our urban growth boundaries haven't grown just because there's no growth in the community. So the economy recovers. I think there will become a time when that will become an issue.
And Representative Holby, just as a clarification, I think the description of the residential area is between the city limit of Roseburg and the city limit of Winston is the unincorporated area known as Green. That area is primarily residential and some light retail with some industrial space, but the area is also part of the Roseburg High School District. So it's tied together.
Go ahead, follow up.
So if you could clarify for me, so Green is not in an urban growth boundary?
Yes, it is. It's in the Roseburg River program.
Thank you.
Not all of them, but most of them. You know, it's like Representative Hanna said, there is some light industrial and some commercial there. There is actually still some farmland there as well. But then you get into areas, part of the division would be like wildlife safari and a few things like that. So.
And how far north does the UGB go for Roseburg?
Chair, I address that.
And whoever's speaking, would you state your name?
My name is Fred Dayton, for lack of a year. Green is not incorporated urban area, and one of the few in the state that has its own urban growth boundary. So that is recognized by Douglas County, although it is not actually a city.
Okay, thank you. Clarification. And if. Could you please spell your name for clarification for the record, the gentleman that just spoke?
My last name is Dayton, D-A-Y-T-O-N. First name is Fred.
Thank you. Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Cruz, Representative Tim was Freeman was talking about the difference between Weimar and Winston. And I wonder if you could say, what's the relative population size of the two?
The relative population, I would say that Winston would be 10 times the size of Weimar. Weimar basically is the one spot on the road. I don't want to disrespect Weimar, but Representative Freeman basically told you what is there. And it is an incredibly small community.
The idea of, I think Representative Freeman was talking about a trade-off that one would go one way and the other should go the other way, but it really gets to the size. Thank you.
All right. Any further questions? Representative Holvey.
I don't know that I got an answer about the Roseburg UGB and how far north it went. I got the idea about going south to Green, but
The urban growth boundary for Roseburg ends basically at the North Umpqua River. There is a sliver immediately adjacent to Interstate 5 north of the river to take in some industrial ground that is up in there.
Does that answer your question, Representative Holvey?
Yeah, just thank you.
Okay, seeing no further questions, we'll move on to Brookings. And in Brookings, our camera is trained on the very, what would be your left front desk. If we would have two people come up and testify for a panel, that would be helpful. And again, state your names and spell your names for the record when you come forward.
Your appearance.
Distinction as well.
The population density also, Curry County is 13 people per square mile. In urban areas that are in our district, they have a density of 2,122 people per square mile. The coast, the South Coast especially, is a unique situation. And I think, I'm hoping that the committee will take all of that into consideration when they are looking at the maps. Communities of common interest. Our main, as has been said, we have a lot of resource-based industry for where we have more, but we mainly survive on resource-based industry and tourism. Tourism is becoming more and more and more important. And as our natural resource-based industries decline, tourism is increasing. And your tourism is on the coast. It's in that coastal range where people come in. A lot of people like to vacation at the ocean. They like to, just have that whole environment. I know that the committee, the criteria says that you need to look at those communities of common interest. But one of my real concerns is about the process that has occurred with redistricting in the past.
Ms. Bond, I just wanted to let you know that the yellow light is on, so you have under a minute now. Thank you.
Okay, I'll wrap it up. I just would encourage the committee to take the criteria to be able to formulate a plan this year that is not going to be vetoed by the governor, and therefore end up in the hands of the Secretary of State. When that happens, there is just too much power. Another thing I would encourage the committee to think about is to the possibility of forming an independent committee to actually perform the redistricting function that takes it out of the legislature, and therefore hopefully will be less political in nature. Thank you.
Okay, go ahead.
My name is Shirley Hogben, H-O-G-B-E-N. I've lived in Brookings 25 years, and I'm a realtor for 21 years here in Brookings. I'd like to introduce you to the part of the coast that no one ever comes to, or it seems like we're left out. And one of the reasons is because of the distance. In our area, we are separated even in our towns. We're 25, going up the coast, we are 25 miles of wilderness between each community. We are even separated from Brookings to Gold Beach to Port Orford. There's a 75-mile stretch with distance between that is uninhabited. About 90% of our county is state and national forest. There's very little room for development. So that's keeping our population down and close to Highway 101. As you go further north up the coast, it's the same thing. Coos Bay to Reedsport, up to Lincoln City. There's all of this distance between each town that you don't have in the I-5 corridor where you go from city to city and don't even realize you've gone from city to city. And just historically, the reason for that is it's stagecoach stops. So we've gone clear back and developed our towns around those stagecoach stops. That does present a problem. I do believe it's important that the coastal communities stick together because our concerns are the same. They're not the same as in the I-5 corridor. Although we are so related, in Brookings, if we want to go shopping, it's 100 miles to Coos Bay to a mall. It's 100 miles to Grants Pass to a mall. And if we really do want to pay the sales tax, we can go 100 miles south to Eureka. We are the center of a hub. We attract tourism to our area because we have the best weather in the state, in my opinion. We also have spread out between ranching of cattle, sheep, llamas, and emus here in our area. We have agriculture, the lily bulbs, we have blueberries and cranberries further up in our area. But the commercial fishing, the recreational fishing, and the timber industry have been the mainstay of our area for a long, many years. We need to have people that understand that, and our representatives presently do that very well. They have a lot of understanding of our needs, but it's very important that in the redistricting that we minimize these finger peninsulas pulling in other areas that do not fit our needs and our area. We want to keep this from looking like it might create political favoritism. We want to avoid that as much as possible, and that's where I feel like we need to keep it in a committee, not let the Secretary of State make those decisions, not give it to just one person. It needs to be by committee. And I thank you so much for taking the time to hear our opinions. It's just a really wonderful thing to know that you're caring enough to listen to us. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any questions for this panel? Senator Przanski.
Thank you. Regarding the testimony from both of you, you talked about different areas of communities of interest. Both of you suggested that sometimes you may go do shopping or, I believe, medical needs and Grants Pass in Medford. What routes of travel would be used for those who are on the very southern end of the Oregon coast and close to the California border?
Go to Grants Pass in Medford, we go down through California, the highway 199, which through the winter is iffy. We could leave and go to Medford shopping and may not be able to come back because of landslides and off the highway. And then going to Coos Bay, of course it's highway 101, and south it's highway 101. So we really are limited to our access roads out. Highway 199, we are very dependable on. It's a 2-hour trip to Grants Pass.
For the record, that was Ms. Hogben that responded. Follow-up?
Nope.
Okay, thank you. And while we're in Brookings, can you please advise us how many more people are there to testify? Alita, are you there?
Five? Yes, we have five. Yes.
Thank you. And in Roseburg, how many do we have to testify?
We have six, but we have an extra person I'd like to speak if that was all right.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we're back to Coos Bay, and we'll call up our next panel. We have Ken Messerly. Mo, I'll let you state your last name. Mo. And Brett Kenny.
I guess I can start while they're approaching. First, I want to thank you all for coming down to the South Coast. It's really an opportunity for us to show off our area. And my only concern is, or I wish that you had time that we could show you around the area. I'm presently a lobbyist. My name is Ken Messerly. I'm a former senator from the South Coast. And several times I have had the opportunity to bringing statewide officers or legislators and show them around our area. And the interesting thing is that after they've seen the potential of our port and some of the advantages we have in the area, the common comment is that this region of the state has more opportunity than any place they've been to. So I'd like to continue the theme that you've heard here today, but simply approach it from my experience as a lifelong resident of the South Coast, Coos Bay, and also from my experiences as a former legislator. I started in the House in 1997 and served 4 years in the House representing Coos and Southern Coos and Curry counties. And then in in 2000, I was elected to the Senate, and my first district before the last redistricting covered from the California border up through Florence. And then after the 10 years ago after that redistricting, I was assigned to Senate District 5, which went from Coos Bay, North Bend, up the coast, western Douglas, western Lane, all of Lincoln County, and parts of Polk and Yamhill counties. I found that this district was very difficult to provide service to my constituents and to keep in contact with them from such a large geographic area with a diverse interest. Recognizing the very difficult task that you have before you, it is apparent to me that that as you go through this process, our new districts will have to expand to the north and to the east. While considering the communities of interest criteria, the South Coast residents would be better served if the Senate district started at the Southern Oregon border and progressed up through the Oregon coast through Lane County. In other words, combine House District 1 and House District 9 into a Senate district for the South Coast. This region is dominated by natural resource industries, including forestry, agriculture, fisheries, mining, recreation, and tourism. Other common interests are Southwestern Oregon Community College, medical facilities, our education service districts, Native American tribes, our railroad service, which we will have in this region within the next 6 months again, several ports, including Coos Bay's Deepwater Port, a regional commercial airport, and commercial services from businesses and suppliers from the Southern Oregon coast, including Roseburg and Eugene. In summary, I believe it is important to structure the legislative districts so that legislators have access to their constituents and the communities have a common interest. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, hello, and thank you for this opportunity. I'm Mo Aker. And I'm happy to be here to talk to members of the redistricting committee. I grew up in Florence, Oregon, and I've lived most of my adult life here in Coos Bay. Those of us who live on the coast, I'm going to share just a short story. At a recent event I attended, a youth presenter came and asked to present at an event. But he wanted to be first on the program because he said he had a long drive home. And so I thought, because changing where he was going to speak was going to be an inconvenience to me. So I said, well, where are you going? And he says, well, I have to be back in Medford. And this is a small example, but it really illustrates well, because I had just been in Ashland the night before, came back at 11:30, got up and went to work, and was at the event that night. So there's just a little bit of disconnect, I think, in the terms of what is normal for us on the coast, as for our neighbors in the valley. The coast is unique. We have a unique climate. We have unique travel issues, industries, as well as enormous possibilities. We're significantly rural, without a doubt. Whether it's fishing, timber, or the tourist industry, coastal communities have unique economic strengths as well as challenges. As a workforce development professional, that's my job for the last 28 years, I've seen up close the human toll of the devastation of dwindling timber and fishing industries in our area. As coastal communities, we face high unemployment and staggering poverty. We do share Highway 101, maybe known to many of you as a scenic highway and very important to our tourists. But for us, it's our regional link. It's our main road. We share, my husband, who has a small business, has customers that come from Florence, as far as Florence, and down to Gold Beach, to our local area. One of the things I want to mention also is that ORS 188010 stipulates the redistricting cannot dilute the strength of ethnic groups, and the Confederated Tribes of Coos Lower Umpqua Siuslaw tribal boundaries overlap with District 9's current boundaries, and we need to make sure that this voice is protected and in one district if possible and not diluted. I believe continued strong representation at the state level of coastal communities is essential. I'm, of course, interested in bipartisan support for all of the things in our local area, and I just wanted to highlight the coastal caucus that, in a bipartisan way, has spoken well on our behalf, so we can do this. So anyway, that's just my brief comment, and I would like to thank you for the opportunity to speak today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Chair Bonamici and co-chairs Garrett and Lindsay and the members of the redistricting committees, my name is Brett Kenny. Thank you so much for coming here. I'm here on behalf of the Coquille Indian Tribe, who is my employer. I'm their tribal attorney. The Coquille Indian Tribe has over 900 members, and it's...
Okay, thank you. We heard some background talking, and we'll continue. Thank you.
Sure. Yep, just wanted to mention that the Coquille Indian Tribe, my employer, has over 900 members, and they're growing quickly. 35% of those members reside in Coos County. 52% of them reside within the tribe's five-county service area, which includes Coos, Curry, Douglas, Lane, and Jackson counties. The tribe's ancestral lands range from the Coos Bay area eastward to Camas Valley and south well into Curry County. The Coquille are not the only tribe with an interest in this area. Other tribes that claim an interest in this region are the Coos Loramco and Siuslaw, as well as the Confederated Tribes of Siletz. For the tribe, the community on the topic of community of interest, the tribe has several communities of interest and several bridges it hopes to build with the community and has built. But there is a distinction between the relationship of Oregon's coastal tribes to the community and non-coastal tribes. I think, as was just referenced, the basis of subsistence traditionally for coastal tribes is very different than non-coastal tribes. And the role that coastal tribes have tried to play in Oregon coast's economy and in the politics of the local communities is very different. For the Coquille, they have made a significant effort to purchase nearly all of their land and make almost all of their investment in the Coos County area, specifically in Coos Bay, North Bend area. So they propose that the coastal representatives, to the greatest extent possible, remain coastal. Understand that there has to be some change in order to level out the playing field, but the tribe believes that the basis for the local economy, the needs and challenges for the local area are very different than for the non-coastal areas, especially for the South Coast, which is so distant from other parts of the state. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. My first question might be, I've heard testimony that obviously the Southwest has to pick up some population. I've heard testimony that that it's likely to go north and maybe east. My question is, looking on the eastern boundary, is there some sort of, what is the division between the coastal community and a little bit more Eastland? Is it as simple as the summit, or are there some other natural, geographic, or other lines that could define coast from inland?
If I might attempt to answer that, Mr. Chair, there is the coast range, but again, as I testified, I don't think you have any choice. Either in Roseburg area or in the Eugene area, you're going to have to go beyond the coast range to get the numbers you need. As well as I understand House District 9, and Speaker Roblin can probably clarify this more, I think his boundary now is at the Siuslaw River. And if you went to the northern boundary of Lane County, I think there's quite a bit of population that he could pick up there for his district.
Thanks. And for the record, that was Mr. Messerly.
Yes, sir.
Former Representative Messerly. Thank you.
Yes, Senator.
Or Senator. Sorry. Thank you. Any other questions for this panel? Senator Brzezinski and Representative Reed.
I just didn't catch your name in the middle, ma'am. If you could just restate your name.
My name is Mo Akers.
Mo Akers?
Yeah. Double A-K-R-E.
Thank you.
No.
Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm curious, both of, or at least two of the three of you mentioned the Coastal Caucus, and I wanted to hear a little bit more of that story. This is my third session, and the Coastal Caucus is particularly interesting to me since it spans the entire coast, and I think it's probably safe to say, if not the entire political spectrum, nearly close to that, and it's an especially effective group, as far as I can tell, representing the coastal perspective. So I wonder if particularly the two of you who mentioned it could share some of the history of how that developed and how you see it working to represent the coast as a distinct kind of region.
Well, I'll just mention quickly some of the successes, which I can't remember, but one of them is this is a benefit to the north of us in Newport, the National Oceanic Atmospheric, NOAA, I can't say all those big words, but that's huge for us. I mean, it's huge for our state, but that took an effort, a bipartisan effort in terms of our benefit. And I think sometimes when regions get together,
statewide,
because, you know, if the sky's falling, we all have to figure out how to fix the sky. And because you have that common interest in that area, I don't know the history of the Coastal Caucus. I know a lot about it because I hear about it a lot, so I can't identify that. But I just think, you know, it's the best part of political work because it's on the benefit of a region and the successes benefit the region.
Senator Bryant, did you have something to say?
Yes. I'm not sure I'm the one that mentioned the Coastal Caucus, but I used to be a member of it, and I think there is just an awful lot of common interest, primarily with the ocean tourism and the fisheries. What I have experienced, though, is that from Lane County to the northern or the mid part of the coast, there's a geographic barrier there. I mean, a pretty difficult road. I used to, when I served that district, several times got caught in storms trying to drive home, and it was treacherous. So there is a division there, but as far as the Coastal Caucus functioning very strongly and to advantage to the whole coast, there is a lot of common issues there that they work on. So,
Mr. Brief, thank you. I wonder if how much of that effectiveness and strength of the Coastal Caucus is a result. I think there's a tension there. I wonder if you could comment on the one hand, the common interest that unites the entire coast. On the other hand, the fact that several different legislators represent different parts of the coast and can band together. Has that been a part of its effectiveness, do you think?
And before you answer that, just for the benefit of the record, when anybody answers a question to the panel, if you'll state your name again. Go ahead.
I'll say yes. My name is Ken Messerly. But I think that is helpful because they do have large numbers. And I know this year especially they do have some members of the Coastal Caucus who don't live on the coast, aren't representing the coast, but are interested simply because of the fisheries issues to be involved with it.
Thank you.
Okay, Senator Byer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm curious, I think the gentleman from the tribes, representing the tribes, had noticed that there's a distinction between the south coast and the north coast, and it's far less distinct for me when you kind of go up there, and I know the area from actually Reedsport north a little better than I do the south. Where in your minds is that midpoint, or where's the break line, if you call it that?
Thank you. This is Brett Kenny from the Coastal Tribe. I would put it somewhere in Lane County. I grew up in Newport in Lincoln County, and in my experience, the economy is very different somewhere once you cross a boundary from Lane County to Douglas County. It just becomes significantly more rural. The economy becomes significantly more based on natural resources. And the population becomes older within the economy. There is greater reliance on entitlement. Income drops.
my perception from working in Lincoln County a lot in the past is they pretty much orient north from Florence all the way up to Lincoln City and beyond that. But second question, I'm just intrigued by this. When I look at the populations and the issues that we have, it's very clear that all of the coastal districts have significantly less numbers than we have in their existing legislative districts than we have to deal with in terms of meeting the statutory guidelines for redistricting. Currently, with the division you have, I think it works out to about 5 state representatives who have coastal districts and 3 senators. But it would appear that if we kind of tried to create a coastal district, we'd reduce that down to at most 2 senators. You have a comment on that? So you'd have less clout, I guess, is my curiosity. Does anybody have a comment on that?
I guess I could try to comment. Ken Messerly again. I think that's reality. I mean, we hate to see it. We'd rather see as many senators and representatives as we possibly can. But with what we're faced with, I don't see how you can really avoid that to some extent, that we'll probably lose 1 House seat and maybe even a Senate seat.
Thank you. Senator Von Meachie.
Thank you. Well, Senator Beyer asked my question, but I thought since we're talking about the Coastal Caucus so much, we might want to give Senator Verger and Representative Roblin an opportunity to really tell us about it, if they'd like to.
You can do so now, or unless you want to come up as a panel as well.
Either way,
go ahead, Senator.
Just stay right here.
Sure.
I'm the past chair of the Coastal Caucus, and I can tell you a lot about the history of it, and I'll be very brief. The Coastal Caucus formed as a result of coastal communities feeling that they were not heard in the legislature. And so we ran into some pretty serious problems from an economic standpoint, and we started working. We did not get very well organized, however, until we received a seat grant intern, which has been several sessions ago. Once we got some assistance and staff with the Coastal Caucus, we were already bicameral and bipartisan and worked very well together. We worked on a unanimous basis. If one person in the Coastal Caucus disagrees on a bill, it does not go forward with the good housekeeping stamp of approval. We still continue to have an intern who organizes, gets the structure together, the agendas, and so forth. So in the last 3 sessions, we have taken on some very big projects. One was Marine Reserves. Marine Reserves is a very common interest on the coast, was a very serious issue, was being removed from the OPAC process, the government sanction process, and it was through House Bill 3613 that the Coastal Caucus put the bill in and reorganized that, got it back into the OPAC process. We have a bill that will be coming out this session which will complete some of the Marine Reserve issue. I would be happy to answer any questions at all about the Coastal Caucus, but I think it is a role model for how people can get along and can agree. Regardless of political philosophies, when it comes to coastal issues, there has been, in my knowledge, only 1 time prior to this session that there was something that was brought to the caucus that they could not go forward. In other words, we had objections. This session, we have had considerable hard work on the bill that you will see coming out, hopefully coming out, because this has been one of the first controversies in the Coastal Caucus. We do have an influence. People more and more in the legislative process come to the Coastal Caucus and want to know, what do you think about this particular issue if it has coastal impacts? And we appreciate very much that that position.
Thank you. Speaker Roblin.
For me, I just want to say, I'm not going to say anymore. I think Senator did a great job of that explanation. If there's time at the end of this hearing, when people who are here have come to speak, have there is more time, I'd be glad to answer some of those questions. But I can talk to you guys in Salem. I can come to the committee there. They can't, and I would really like to make sure that you get to hear as many of our local people speak as possible.
Thank you kindly. All right, we're going to move on to Roseburg now. Thank you. And we're going to change some things up as well. We've received additional names of people that want to testify, so we're going to move from 5 minutes to 3 minutes. It will turn yellow at when you have a minute or 30 seconds left, Lori.
It should turn at a minute.
At a minute. So you'll have 2 minutes green light, 1 minute to go when it's yellow. And, of course, when it turns red, the trap door opens. So we'll go to Roseburg. And if we can have the next two people come up at the front desk in Roseburg and state and spell your name. It looks like we have three, and that's just fine. Go ahead.
Co-chairs and members of the committee, my name is Tom Foxworth. I'm a 10-year resident of Oakland, Oregon, in Roseburg, Oregon. Retired from the railroad industry here because it's a wonderful area to live in. First, I'd like to thank you for giving us this opportunity to testify before you today. You have got to have one of the toughest jobs this year for a legislator, so you have our thanks and appreciation for taking on such a thankless job. You have probably heard from everyone appearing before you about the requirements of ORS 188.010 in determining the new redistricting plan. My concern today is that you try as best you can to come up with a new redistricting plan that will minimize that portion of ORS 188.010 so that, quote, no district shall be drawn for the purpose of favoring any political party, incumbent legislator, or other person or be drawn for the purpose of diluting the voting strength of any language or minority group, unquote. Far too often in the past, districts not only in Oregon but elsewhere have been gerrymandered to provide safe seats for politicians from either party. You have the opportunity when you return to Salem to create districts that are truly competitive. I know there are areas where it will be physically impossible not to have safe seats just from the makeup of the population. Where there is no doubt where you can truly have competitive districts, I would appreciate your making the effort to create them. You also have an opportunity this year to make sure that the legislature follows the other provisions of 188.010 by making sure that each new district, quote, be contiguous to the equal population, utilize existing geographic or political boundaries, not divide communities of common interest, and be connected by transportation lines. The one area of the above that is probably going to cause you the most grief will be the communities of common interest. Roseburg, for example, needs to remain completely in House District 2. We do not see the need for any major changes in our region. However, the area that I live in Roseburg is actually outside the city limits and its UGB, and we find ourselves in Senator Wayne Greer's State Senate District. Most of his district is on the coast, and though we are very, very pleased with his representation in Salem, we do not really meet the requirements of the community of common interest. I realize that the equal population criteria comes into play here, so if there is nothing that can be done about this year, then we will be happy to continue being represented by Senator Kruger. But in the future, should the opportunity present itself, our area really should be included in the district, perhaps based on existing geographic boundaries, so that we fall into an inland, non-coastal district.
And Mr. Hawksworth, I just wanted to let you know the yellow light is on. If you could wrap up in 10, 15 seconds, that would be helpful.
In closing, I would like to partially refer back to my first point about the gerrymandering, as that is something I think you could have some effect upon this year. I hope your committee and the legislature as a whole will take the opportunity this year to look into changing the statute on redistricting so that it is handled by an independent commission so that Oregonians may have legislative districts that they feel truly represent them. Thank you again for your time today, and good luck with this. You will need it.
Thank you.
I want to thank the co-chair and the members of the state for hearing my testimony. I'd like to address the importance of our
state legislature to develop a redistricting plan in accordance with ORS 28.010. In our case this time, we are strongly missing this criteria in many instances. We see houses in House District 1 coming across the coastal range with a finger coming in as far as Pascal, Winston, and part of Lipton West, while they are surrounded by those represented by residents of Freeman in District 2. By doing this, their own small valley, community commonness is divided by House Western's dictionary defines community as a group of people living in a particular local area, and Looking Glass certainly qualifies as this. As a small community, we have our own celebrations, such as Santa Fe, completely great, and also important as general holidays. The tragedy to a single family Looking Glass is a tragedy to the valley. The celebration of one family is a celebration of all. We have our own garden club, narrow range, and the limited membership by a small valley, we are separated by house district lines. How is it competing with Section D, which is the criteria above this case? This redistricting shall not divide communities of common interest. The geographic boundaries of HD 1 and HD 10 Lane, for example, may be difficult for citizens and their elected representatives to communicate effectively on a face-to-face basis, and we can be better served by utilizing the most obvious geographic boundary westward coastal range. Furthermore, Congressional District 4 is completely convoluted with bits and pieces of Wilson and Benton County districts. To split a county for a district is one thing, as long as the aforementioned criteria have been met, but to split cities like Grand Pass and Corvallis for a district is confusing both voters and candidates. To split a city by those criteria.
Mr. Mon, I want to let you know the yellow light is on. You have under a minute.
To split a city by those criteria, ORS 28.010, which states that redistricting should utilize geographic or political boundaries. In 40 years, since our legislature has enacted, has written their lines, and for the first time in history, our legislature is deeply divided, often as the doctrine for true nonpartisan effort. I wish to make it best of luck and thank you for hearing and considering my testimony.
Thank you. Next.
Good morning. I am Linda Hellenthal, that's H-E-L-L-E-N-T-H-A-L. I'm a 26-year resident of District House District 2, the Greater Roseburg area. I recently retired after working 20 years as a dental hygienist in the area for a total of 4 dentists. My husband and 2 sons are loggers currently working a job in the Tidy area of Douglas County. We live on an 800-acre tree farm and are current holders of the Douglas County Tree Farmers of the Year honor. We revel in our rural surroundings and the values we derive from our rural life. House District 2 encompasses much rural area, both in topography and attitude. The city of Roseburg is the center of commerce for the district and fits well with the surrounding areas. I do the household shopping within District 2, and my husband obtains his fuel, parts, and supplies, and sells his logs, primarily in House District 2. Both city and country residents share goals and interests, neighborhood and civic pride, school districts, and economic needs. In short, we are all a good fit, and keeping the status quo in our legislative boundaries just makes sense to me. However, it becomes frustrating at times, as many of our neighbors just across the road from us, that's Highway 138 East, are House District 7 voters. Such have been the ways of past redistricting wins. Should changes be necessary in the district makeup, we urge district growth with respect to the existing city boundaries, adding contiguous outlying areas where necessary. This would help to maintain the current harmony within the district with respect to the needs of the population. Our legislators, past and present, have been well able to represent their constituents due to the community closeness of the district. That knowledge of being well represented gives us the confidence to continue investing in our geographic legislative community with time, jobs, and community involvement. Finally, I have twice experienced the frustration of redistricting being done by the Secretary of State due to the failure of the legislature to accomplish the task. When thinking of the subject of district lines, the word fair comes to mind, and that is not what I have seen in many other areas of the state.
climate of the process I saw was unfriendly, seemingly disconnected from the needs and wishes of the citizens, and clearly politically motivated. The current almost bipartisan makeup of the Oregon legislature exemplifies the wishes of the Oregon voter. Work together for the benefit and future success of the state. I am confident that your committee and the legislature as a whole will successfully complete your most important task and bring this redistricting matter to a close within your jurisdiction, thus making it a process that reflects your constituents' needs and desires. Thank you for the opportunity to address you today.
Thank you, and it looks like you might have written testimony there. We'd ask that if you'd like to submit it, that on the sheets of paper that have been given to you there at the location, that you simply email it in. That'd be helpful. Are there any questions for this panel? Okay, seeing none, thank you. We're going to move, hopefully, on to Brookings. Brookings, are you there? We lost the video feed to Brookings, and we're not sure about the audio feed. Alita, are you there in Brookings? That's her name, right? I'll ask one more time for Alita.
There they are.
Okay, now we see you. Can you hear us, Alita?
Yes. We lost our connection temporarily, but I think we're back on.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Let's have the next two people from Brookings come forward and state your name for the record, and please remember, we'll have 3 minutes each. Are you there, Brookings? If you can hear us, give us just a second. We're going to try to reconnect to you.
I believe we just lost our connection with OSU.
Okay, well, while we're working on these technical difficulties, we'll move forward with Kuthbe here, and we'll take the next three. We have David Bridgem, Sandy Messerly, and Eric Farm. Please come forward.
We can see and hear you, but we can't see Kuthbe either. Now we can see him.
I think maybe we lost our connection temporarily, so.
Okay. Well, we're going to have a panel of three coming forward from Coos Bay here. We'll have you sit up here, and we're going to continue with Brookings. It looks like we've reconnected. So we can see you and hear you. So if you'd go ahead, please. In Brookings, that is.
Are you going ahead with Coos Bay or Brookings?
Brookings. Go ahead in Brookings. We can see and hear you now.
Hi, I'm Suzanne Gold, S-U-Z-A-N-N-E-G-O-L-D, concerned citizen from Brookings, Oregon. I've lived in Curry County for 25 years, teaching mathematics at the high school as well as the community college. I've also been an elected commissioner at the Port of Brookings Harbor for the past 6 years. I love Oregon, especially Curry County, so it's natural that I have some concerns about our lack of representation due to the inequities that have resulted from the faulty process of setting up legislative districts in the state. I'm sure you're aware that ORS 188.0110 stipulates that districts should be contiguous and utilize existing geographic boundaries. I would like to offer some simple suggestions, keeping in mind that it's important to keep counties intact as much as possible and make lines as simple and logical as possible when the county is divided. These suggestions are: one, based on the current line, Congressional District 4 is too large geographically and Congressional District 5 is too small. Since Benton County is already dividing Congressional District 4 and Congressional District 5, this could be adjusted to take care of most of this. In drawing the Benton County line, the ridiculous meandering around from the last redistricting should be removed and the county cut as much as possible between the southern rural areas and the northern urban areas. Two, it would make a lot more sense to include all of Josephine County in District 4. It is one population center and the current division confuses a lot of people. If this were done, District 2, which is has the rest of Josephine County now, would need to include part of Multnomah County to make up the difference. This can actually be done very well. There is a logical division point. Some of Benton County would still be in District 4, but it is actually an even more logical division when done this way.
Ms. Cole, just for the record, the light's flashing, so you have under a minute.
Okay, I'll hurry. The rest of the congressional district lines would then be drawn as rationally as possible with a minimal amount of adjustment needed. Four, alternatively, it would be better even for District 4 residents to have the Jackson County district in District 4. Josephine and Jackson counties are both part of the Rogue Valley and separated by the Cascade Mountains from Klamath County. This is a very logical division point. This would involve a lot of shifting in the northern district, and even though it would be a much better layout than the present district lines, it may be undesirable because so many people would be moved into different districts. I think that a very fair and reasonable division could be made based on points 1 through 3 above, followed by careful analysis of each dividing line. I would want you only to consider point 4 if major changes are being made. I appreciate the committee listening to my suggestions today. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And just as a note, there are volunteers there, and you're welcome just to hand your written testimony there to the volunteers, and we'll receive written testimony. We'd also prefer, and this is for everybody that will be testifying, to if you have written testimonies, just submit that and then summarize your testimony. I would prefer not to just have it read.
Okay.
Thank you kindly, and we'll move on to the next. Thank you.
I will give that to
the volunteer. Thank you. Go ahead. You're welcome to go.
My name is Sue Adams, S-U-E-A-D-A-M-S. I am a resident of Brookings Harbor. Lived here since 2004. The reason I'm up here to speak today is that, and I'm going to try and make it really, really short since we're short on time. I'm going to make it kind of short and sweet, and I hope it doesn't offend. I'm not a politician. The legislature is tasked every 10 years for the redistricting purpose. The statute is clear. The legislature should be first choice for this task. Unfortunately, this has not happened for decades. It has been assigned to the Secretary of State or the courts. Oregonians would prefer a bipartisan cooperation informing the redistricting plan as evidenced by the closely divided nature of both chambers at this point in time. I believe the current Oregon redistricting law is flawed. The statute is written in to give too much power to the governor and to the Secretary of State, and if they're in the same party, it makes it even more unfair. The governor can veto redistricting plans, and then the Secretary of State can redraw those redistricting plans. So the process is the problem, regardless of the party in control. The state warns us against partisanship. This needs to be addressed through the very simple fact that if you form if you have a bad process to begin with, your outcome is going to be flawed. And that is what's been occurring in the state of Oregon. I would hope that the Joint Committee would consider changing the statute on redistricting to have an independent commission complete the task of redistricting. This is an approach that many states have taken, and other states are moving toward at this time. So if you start with a flawed process, you're going to end up with a flawed result. It's as simple as that, and that's what needs to be happening at the state legislature and needs to be taken care of at that level or through a committee, not through the governor and the Secretary of State in the courts. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for this panel in Brookings?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Domenici.
Thank you. I don't have a question. I just really want to encourage people who have the written testimony to submit it, especially since we're time constraints. It will be really helpful to have that testimony in writing, so I appreciate it. I appreciate your testimony and encourage you to give that written testimony to your volunteer there. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Okay, we're back here at Coos Bay, and we'll start. We already have the panel ready to go.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Thank you. For the record, my name is David Bridgham, B-R-I-D-G-H-A-M. I'm the board chair here at Southwestern Oregon Community College, and I'm here today to help share with you a greater definition of a community of interest that's well-defined with political borders. And that's only in context of a larger region that we're all talking about here today. But at Southwestern, the borders were defined nearly 50 years ago. To the south of the California border, the west, obviously, at the Pacific Ocean. But then came the issue of defining a northern border, and they used the U.S. Congressional district border to define the northern border of the SWAC district. And now that has been in place for 50 years. So I wanted to point that issue out to you. You know, when I reflect back on how rural we are, and you've been hearing about that over and over, there's a phrase we use in higher education called place-bound. Now, a student is place-bound. And when they made that, coined that phrase, they must have been thinking about the Southern Coast. It's 2 hours to anywhere from here, and you've heard that before, too. I attended a meeting in Salem yesterday, 6 hours of round-trip driving for a four-hour meeting. And that's normal for us on the South Coast. And my hat's off to our local legislators who make that on a regular basis. Thank you very much for doing your work. So we have become very deliberate in trying to overcome these issues. We are very inventive here on the South Coast, self-reliant, I like to say. And here in the community college district, we use, for example, you see today our IPTV video conferencing to deliver class and professional development to our staff on our various centers and campuses down the coast. Our district runs from Reedsport down to Brookings. And so we utilize those opportunities. Another inventive, creative, self-reliant rural initiative is our university center here at Southwestern. We are fortunate enough to have the only one in the state of Oregon where we can walk on this stage during our graduation. We can walk confer bachelor's, master's, and even higher degrees on campus from people who are on the South Coast who are place-bound. And that is significantly important. These people, because of family and jobs, just aren't going to get that education any other way. So why I'm saying all this, I want to underscore the importance of everyone's understanding of this unique community of interest.
And if you would wrap up.
Thank you very much.
There you go. Thank you.
My name is Sandy Messerly. I'm the executive director of the South Coast Development Council here in Coos Bay, and our area of service extends into Western Douglas, Curry, and Coos counties. Our job is to create jobs so that people who want to live here can live here. As you're aware, for 30 years, this area, our region, has been on the ropes economically. There is a world of opportunity available to us, and as things have been happening in recent years, the creation of this college, the enhancement of the Southwestern Oregon Regional Airport, the rail line, the Coos Bay rail line, these are all important economic drivers along with our bay, along with our ports, that can make this area flourish in the future. But as we've been economically on the ropes, we have lost a lot of our youth. We have lost a lot of our families. We've lost our population, obviously, from the figures you hold before you. But what remains is a relatively, and forgive me, I'm going to go back in my years as a grant writer and an not-for-profit administrator, disenfranchised population. And I know that that's something you and government and the legislature understand. We have a high population of elderly. Many of them were born and raised here, but many of them have chosen to retire here for the quality of life that the Oregon Coast represents. Our youth, they often leave the area because they don't have jobs here, and they desperately want to return here and stay here, but we often lose them. And we have families that have been displaced by the lack of jobs over the past 30 years that desperately want to return to the Oregon coast as well. What I'm saying to you in short is that I think our population has the capacity to greatly change in the future. I would ask you, and I'm not an attorney, but when I read the statute here, it doesn't stipulate that any one of these factors should weigh more heavily in the redistricting decision than any other. I don't see where population weighs any more heavily than areas of common interest. And this community of common interest has relatively little in common with those communities on the I-5 corridor to the east, with Western Eugene, any of the other places. And you've heard this before, so I don't need to get into it. But I would ask you, don't disenfranchise this area any further by costing us politically. That's what's brought us the economic drivers we have in place right now. Please let us keep our voice in Salem and our voice in Congress. Thank you.
My name's Eric Farm, F-A-R-M. I'm a forester here in North Bend, and my regular duties take me from about Gardner to the north and Brookings in the south and Roseburg to the east. So I cover this area that we've been talking about, the community of common interest, fairly regularly. I've kind of started with a blank slate, a blank canvas, and I kind of define this community of interest generally as to the north about the Siuslaw River, to the east I-5, or maybe the Coast Range, all the way down to California. And what makes this coastal area unique, I've got a few examples, and hopefully you can take these into consideration. Like we've heard, it's a long distance from our major population centers, and so we have to be self-sufficient. We have a similar socioeconomic conditions throughout this community, which are different than those to the north and to the east. Our region is well known for recreation and destination tourism, fishing, farming, forestry, and mineral resources. And I would define that destination tourism, if you think about, I had a recent trip up through to Tillamook, and a lot of those coastal towns have what I call a day trip or a boardwalk type of tourism. You can day trip from Eugene, from Portland, and our tourism is a little bit different. If you're coming to Coos Bay or Curry County, you're coming to stay for a day or two or for a week. And so it's a different type of tourism. It's an outdoor tourism, typically. We also have people from around the world coming to our world-class golf resorts. So although we share the similarity of tourism along the coast, it's a little bit different version of tourism in our area. Additionally, we share common transportation networks to include highways, airport, railroad, and our industrial port. We have heavy state and federal timberland ownership across our region, which makes us unique. Additionally, there's a layer of federal agency oversight on most industrial activities here due to our water resources and endangered species concerns. We also share healthcare facilities. We have the community college network, as we talked about, our school districts, the ESD boundaries would be included in there, and this community also wholly includes multiple Native American tribes. I'd like to reiterate that the coast needs to be well represented, and hopefully through your discussions we can retain our three Senate districts and up to five House districts. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Messerly, in partial response to your comments, ORS 188.010, you're right, does not say one of the elements supersede the other, but my good colleague here, Representative Garrett, who went to a much better law school than I did, tells me that that the population number is in the Constitution, and that for congressional districts, we have to have an exact number, and for legislative districts, we have to have a very, very low deviation. And my question to you, Mr. Bridgem, was, you mentioned, I only partially caught it, was you mentioned that I think the northern boundary of SWOC, Southwest Oregon Community College, was a dividing line in a congressional district. Could you repeat what you said?
Yes, this is David Bridgem. The northern boundary of the district was determined by U.S. congressional district back 50 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. My understanding.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any questions for this panel?
Mr. Chair, and Mr. Bridgem, I just wanted to follow up on your comment because you identified a district as still a common area of interest that was formed 50 years ago.
Correct.
And obviously the population has changed. So what would that district look like today?
You're talking about, this is David Bridgman, you're talking about the college district, what would it look like today? Or
yeah, you mentioned that we need to consider that area from 50 years ago today, sure. And obviously the population.
Well, in the interim, the 50-year interim, that college has been well-defined within the Oregon State community college system of 17 community colleges. That's my reflection on those district boundaries, that anything north of Reedsport would be in the Lane Community College District. Okay. Does that answer your question?
As long if follow up, if I may,
yeah.
Just wanted to make sure you're still not using that border as something we should be considering.
I just wanted to reflect. You wanted to hear some information about U.S. congressional districts. I wanted to give you some historical background.
Okay.
That's where our community college district came from.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to head back to Roseburg now. Thank you kindly. And in Roseburg, we'd have, looks like you're ready to go. And go ahead and remember to state your name and spell it for the record, please.
Good morning, co-chairs and members of the committee. My name is Dallas Hurd, D-A-L-L-A-S-H-E-A-R-D. I am a sod farmer and landscape contractor, and I've been a resident of this Roseburg and the Lumenpass area for 26 years. I've come here today to give my input for the redistricting process. My first point is that I believe it would make more sense to have the districts run around a more central or more compact populace of people than what we have currently. For instance, I live in the most eastern part of my district, which is Looking Glass, House District 1. To have a face-to-face meeting with my Representative Krieger, I have to travel 75 miles to meet him halfway. And more importantly, once I make the drive, I'm not talking to an individual who has very little knowledge of what really is going on in my local area as far as the economy and so forth. If I want to talk to a rep who's more versed in my daily struggles, I only need to drive about 5 minutes from my home to talk to either Representative Freeman or Hannah, who are much more knowledgeable about what is going on here in the Roseburg, Southern, and Winston area. It will continue to be very tough for a representative to serve the districts, or to serve these districts of common interest if there is no common interest because of the way the districts are. I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous here, but to just shoot from the hip here, it's a very different economy here and a very different even physical environment in the Roseburg area than it is on the coast where I'm represented. I have to grow a very different kind of turf to serve the many different contractors that I sell saw to on the coast because of the different environmental conditions there that I do here just to make it today. The turf we grow here won't do well, but Sutherland, Roseburg, and Winston are all represented by three different districts, and yet they're a cluster of population along the I-5 corridor that has a very similar common interest. So it would just make much more simple, logical sense to me to have that cluster population represented by the same district. So that's all I have.
Okay, thank you. And could you please restate and spell your name? We missed it here for the record.
Dallas Hurd, H-E-A-R-D.
Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
My name is Fred Tate. D-A-Y-T-O-N. I grew up in Grants Pass, studied land surveying at OTI in Klamath Falls, and became a real estate appraiser consultant in Roseburg. During the past 41 years, I have been active in the community in various organizations and commissions, including 14 years on the City Planning Commission. When doing a residential appraisal, the appraiser is confronted with the term homogeneous neighborhood. When groping for the terminology to express my thinking on the legislative redistricting of the state of Oregon, the term homogeneous neighborhood came to mind. I believe this term accurately describes the goal redistricting should look toward. Rural communities and the surrounding farms and timberlands are easily viewed for their homogeneous characteristics and likewise in urban areas. The needs of the citizens of Eugene are different from those of Central Douglas County. Likewise, the voters of the coastal area deal with a unique set of challenges and should have representation that understands those challenges. Geographic barriers and natural terrain must be considered and recognized as these lines are laid upon the maps. For over 40 years, I have been a close observer of the activities of the Oregon Legislature, and I would be very pleased to finally see the legislature establish these district boundaries. Thank you.
Co-chairs and committee members, thank you for devoting your time today. My name is Rich Rayner, that's R-A-Y-N-O-R. I'm a local real estate practitioner. I'm owner and principal broker of Heritage Real Estate here in the Roseburg area. I have been living in the Douglas County, in Douglas County, and been in the real estate business for 16 years now. I served on the Douglas County Planning Commission for 8 years. I'm also a member of the Government Affairs Committee for the Oregon Association of Realtors, but I'd like to state for the record that I am not speaking in any way, shape, or form on their behalf today in my comments. I appreciate the amount of time you've taken out of your life to serve on this committee, and I trust that you are here today to hear what people have to say and take this into consideration rather than just going through the motions of having a public hearing because you're required by law to do so. So I'm trusting that that is the case. Now, I know that both political parties have made it a practice in the past to form districts that benefit their parties. I think we can all agree on this. This should not be the case, folks. No matter what party is in power, ORS 188.010 states, no district shall be drawn for the purpose of favoring any political party. It's pretty specific. Incumbent legislator or any other person or be drawn for the purpose of diluting the voting strength of any language or ethnic minority group. While the statute doesn't explicitly state it, the drawing of districts should not be done for the purpose of enhancing voting strength for any language or ethnic group either. And that kind of, I'm going to be pretty general here, but communities of comment should be political demographics. It shouldn't be racial makeup. We're Oregonians. That's what we are. And we're Americans. I find it actually somewhat disturbing. I was saying the handout when I came here today. And put it away, so let me grab it. Because what was
Mr. Rayner, this is your notice that you have under a minute.
Thank you. I got it. What are the racial and ethnic groups in the area? What does that have to do with anything? All the members of the committee should look at are what is the population and what is the map? And how do those areas of commonality, the cities and towns, work together? I would leave you with this. You've all heard the golden rule. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. Democrats and Republicans, whoever has the power to control the process at any time. If the other party is in power, would you be excited and pleased with what they're doing? If you can't answer that honestly, yes, shame on you. If you cannot answer it honestly, yes, congratulations, you've done your job well. And I'll be the first one to commend you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Are there any questions for this panel? Okay, thank you. We'll move on back to Brookings now. We'll have the next panel from Brookings come forward, please. And please state your name and spell it for the record.
My name is Walt Schroeder, W-A-S-E-S-C-R-O-E-D-E-R. I've been a resident of Perry County for 44 years.
Could you please say that one more time? We missed that.
My name or the...
Your name and spelling.
Okay. Walt Schroeder, W-A-L-T-S-C-H-R-O-E-D-E-R. I've been a resident of Perry County for 44 years. Before that, I lived in Washington County and Dayton County. Well, thank the co-chairs and the committee for taking their time to be here today to hear our concern. The question is asked about moving our district to the east. Well, it's best put together by a poem by Francis Holstrom from Coquille, because we are actually between a rock and a hard place. And she wrote, "With Curry County, with her feet in the sea and her back to the world, The Klamath Mountain Range is the oldest landmass in what became the state of Oregon, and it rises over 5,000 feet east of Perry County. California's to the south, the oceans to the west, and Coos Bay is to the north. Very difficult to get anything around either one of them for a legislative district. My major concern is about gerrymandering. And it was obvious in the 2000 session that the Portland area was gerrymandered tremendously, which enabled the Portland area to have more representatives than they had before. It seems to me they could do the redistricting in the Portland area to include just that area, because many of us feel that we actually have two states here, the state of Portland and the state of Oregon. In fact, even the Oregon School Athletics Association has in their website, Portland and Oregon, instead of Portland, Oregon. So that in any case, there are two different states, even in the OSAA rules. The Klamath Range has no road east except in Perry County, except for a road that goes up through Agnes and comes out of the Grady Creek.
Mr. Schroeder, this is your notice that you have under a minute. Thank you.
Okay. It's closed in the wintertime. Every year we find somebody being stranded up there in the wintertime because they don't follow the signs that say keep out because of snow problems. I rode around to get up to the I-5 corridor through California. We're up to Myrtle Point and across on Highway 42. Well, thank you very much for hearing our concerns, and thank you very much for this day. Thank you.
Thank you. If you'd stay there, we might have some questions for you. Are there any questions for Mr. Schroeder? Okay, thank you. Are there any others to testify from Brookings?
I don't think we have anybody else waiting to testify at this point.
Okay, thank you. We'll come back to Coos Bay then. And next on the list are Harry Abel, Linda Anderson, and Ethel Petrie. Are you Ms. Anderson or Ms. Petrie?
Linda Anderson.
And is there Ms. Petrie here? Okay, we'll call the next up then. And that looks like Crystal, is it Ship?
Shoji,
okay.
Go ahead, ready. My name is Harry Abel. I am the president of our insurance agency, Abel Insurance Agency. I'm also a member of FONSI, which is an acronym for Friends of New and Sustainable Industry. I'm a member of the Coos Bay North Bend Chamber of Commerce, board member at Southwestern Oregon Community College. I am secretary of K-Lite Radio, which operates KYTT-FM and KYSG-FM, and I'm an elder at Shoreline Community Church. I really have nothing to offer to this community or to this committee that could help make your job any easier. You have a very tough job, and basically what I look at is that we have a community here in the South Coast that is not growing as fast as the rest of the state. So hence you have a definite difficult problem in how to do the redistricting. So we can't just generate more population, but what we can do is encourage you as senators and representatives to consider the South Coast when it comes to the economy, because if our economy was better in the South Coast, we would have more jobs, we would have more people, and we wouldn't have this problem. So when you're voting on other issues away from what we're talking about today, if you could give some favor to the South Coast for bringing additional jobs to the area, I think that would solve a lot of our problems. I won't take a lot of time in restating any of the other items that we're in. You know the issues that have already been brought out. We are an area of community interest on the coast. Just coincidentally, I guess, the college, we're just building the campus in Curry County. We extend to Reedsport down to the California border, and we go north and south, and I think, as someone else said about the stage lines, that this is the general flow of things. My office is here in Coos Bay. We also have an office in Gold Beach. Had an office in Brookings, sold it a number of years ago. Office in Florence, and an office in Toledo. I don't know why that is. It's just the natural tendency for us in the South Coast to go north and south instead of east and west. Certainly, we will go over to Roseburg and work in that area somewhat, but our main area is north and south. It's just been the naturalness for us all, and I would like to encourage the committee to give consideration to keep our representation here on the coast, if at all possible. Thank you.
Linda Anderson from Charleston. I don't have the knowledge to address the big picture, so I'm just going to address the little picture.
Thank you.
I recently had a letter writing party at my house. We were there to write letters to support letters to our legislature in support of a matter we've been working on for several years. The attendees came from Bandon, Coquille, and Coos Bay. In that letter-writing party, it became apparent, and I probably hadn't paid attention before that, that half of us had to write to one group and the other half had to write to the other group. Yet, I think we all considered ourselves neighbors. We were Bandon, Coquille, and Coos Bay. We're neighbors, and yet we were having to figure out who had to write to who. And granted, I should have known that before, but I didn't. So I think there's a disconnect that we have this neighborhood, or what we consider neighbors, represented by different people. And I know that's a really little tiny thing, but I think it's important to try not to split up communities that consider themselves a whole community along boundary lines. So that's all I have to say.
I'm Crystal Shoji, CrystalShoji, and I'm the mayor of Coos Bay, and I also have a business, Shoji Planning LLC, and I do land use planning, strategic planning, and facilitation of groups. And really, all I can do is emphasize some of the things that I've heard today. I think you've heard a lot of the information that's out there. Coos Bay, North Bend, this area is the largest community on the Oregon coast, and Coos Bay is the largest city on the Oregon coast. We would not want to see this region split, and when I think of the region, it includes Coos, Curry, and Western Douglas County, which is the Reedsport area. Beyond that, I think other people are better experts than I am. Within that region, we have Southwest Oregon, Southwestern Oregon Community College, as you've heard, Southwest Oregon Regional Airport, Bay Area Hospital, which is the regional health center. We have the media that represent what we call the South Coast. A lot of professionals. When I go, I will be going to Gold Beach next week to do some business. That's quite a regular thing, as Harry's talking about his business. Our Rotary Club is often missing people because they are at their businesses in other communities, often representing Florence, different communities in Curry County. That's the way it goes. It's a region. Also, when I go to the other communities, no matter where I go, I see all the people I know and pass them on the road, and they are coming back and forth from Coos Bay, North Bend, going to work in Port Orford, Gold Beach. It's just very much a common community. In fact, I had trouble on the road and had a blowout one time, and I was starting to call AAA, and suddenly somebody pulls up, and they were from one of those communities, and I'd worked with them, and they just took care of me. So I like that. Anyway, that is all my testimony. We really appreciate that you came here. And we appreciate the work that you're doing, and best of luck, and remember us.
Thank you. And Madam Mayor, actually you said something that we haven't really focused on, that was media. Could you tell us what the major newspaper is here, and maybe the television, what the coverage is?
Yes, well, I don't know if I know exactly the coverage, but the World newspaper is the regional newspaper for what we call the South Coast, and I know that their coverage goes from Florence down through Brookings. Of course, they emphasize more in the center of that than on the edges, but they do that, and you find those newspapers in all those communities. We also have, we're an affiliate in Coos Bay. We have an affiliate of KVAL out of Eugene, another station I can't think of. What is it?
KZI.
Yeah, Medford, KOBI, right. And then I think there's another one, too, that's headquartered here. I think of them by channels and stuff.
KEZI.
KEZI, right, yeah.
KEZI,
yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Representative Garrett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mayor, I had a question for you from your vantage point as a mayor of a coastal town. Do you think we should try to maximize the number of districts in Salem that are represented in Salem that actually have some part of the coast as part of the district? Do you want to see that number of representatives?
You mean to try to split us in a way where we would maximize our influence by having more representatives?
Yeah, just to be frank, the dilemma we face is that if we try to expand District 1, which needs to add over 5,000 people, into District 9, which also needs to add about 5,000 people, we push District 9 north into District 10, which also needs to grow. We push that north into District 32. You can see the problem. We end up losing coastal representation for the sake of keeping coastal communities together. So it's a tough set of factors to balance. How would you suggest we look at that?
Well, I appreciate being asked, but I don't know that I have an answer. I imagine that our coastal representatives would probably know better. I do know that what we have has to be solid. I mean, we can't just be a sidelight of three different districts, because Coos Bay North Bend really is a leader in an area. And so if it came down to, are we part of little bits of somebody else that maybe is a larger, more important community, to are we going to have two really solid ones, I think I would go for less rather than more spread out.
Any other questions for the panel? Representative Esquivel and then Representative Hulvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to ask you point blank, all three of you. You know, House District 1 goes up into the Roseburg area. Do you think that area, it would be more important to have the coastal communities in alignment with one another and not be part of the Roseburg area, or do you think it should be remain existing?
Well, I'll respond to that. I think Roseburg does have a connection with Coos Bay. When I think of southwestern Oregon, I honestly do often think of Curry, Coos, and Douglas County, not just western Douglas, but Douglas. I think that's been through the trade. Roseburg Lumber is over there. They've used our port. They have an office in Coquille, which is one of our inland communities in Coos County. Actually, they're part of my region. I do a lot of business there. And when I go to, with all the communities, but when I go to Riddle and Glendale and all those little communities, I see our engineers over there working for their city. Again, it's very similar to going to Curry County. The reason I hesitated to mention that was because I suspect that I would rather emphasize what I know here and let those people make their own recommendations over there. But we do have commonalities. We also have commonalities with Eugene because of the tribes and with the Florence area and things like that.
I'm Harry Abel with respect to that. And, of course, this is an opinion. But if we had the possibility of just me all being on the coast, I would certainly vie for it being strictly on the coastal. Do we have an affiliation with Roseburg? Most certainly, because I think of the transportation route, Highway 42 going across there, that is the natural way. I would think that from a Coos Bay standpoint, we have a much closer relationship with Roseburg vicinity than we do with Medford. Now, if I'm down in the Brookings area, then I've got to answer that question differently, because they're going to go across 199 and could be construed to have more of a connection with the Grants Pass area. But for our office, the question and the question you asked here, Roseburg is certainly an area. Senator Cruz has been wonderful to try and incorporate us into that area as much as we can, but it is really difficult, I think, to get somebody from Roseburg to represent someone on the coast adequately when we have coastal issues, and it doesn't divide their interests. Thank you.
Linda Anderson, Charleston. I also recognize the connection to Roseburg. I need to point out the medical facilities. There is a lot of medical traffic back and forth between Roseburg. Also, many Roseburg companies have branches in Coos Bay, and as Roseburg considers to grow, we travel a lot to Roseburg.
Okay, thank you, Representative Holvey.
Thank you. I think the mayor sort of touched on my question a little bit. I was you mentioned your connection with the southern coastal communities, and my question was about some of the northern coastal communities like Reedsport and Florence, and recognizing that there's a tribal connection as well between Coos, Umpqua, and Siuslaw. I was just kind of curious about those, and you know, I've heard many people talk about going up to the Siuslaw sometimes, but maybe not including all of the Siuslaw watershed, which I think your railroad actually goes that route too, and actually goes on the other side of the Siuslaw as well. And I know the Siuslaw is very important to that particular native population, going, you know, clear up to the headwaters are very important ancestral heritage there. It's hard to balance all of that, and so do you really see your community on the coast not being more associated with the southern part or the northern part? Or
well, I don't separate Coos and Curry County in my viewpoint. I've lived here 33 years, and I've worked for a lot of government organizations and the Chamber of Commerce and different kind of public things, and I just think of Coos Curry in one sentence. My husband taught in Reedsport for 20-some years. That's very typical. Reedsport is connected with our ESD. Reedsport is connected with a lot of things here. As we go up, the further up we go, the less connection. After Florence, there isn't that much, except just some common goals and things like that.
Representative Cameron.
Yeah, thank you. Just a couple of comments I've heard is that I guess a question I want to ask is if you had to make a choice between being connected with Roseburg versus Brookings and to the north, staying in the coast, your preference would be which?
Who's that directed to?
Anybody on the panel.
I don't think it's our preference of whether we have Brookings or somebody else. I think it's probably they have their own preferences, but I will say that I usually think of Coos and Curry in one one unit. Whether they do or they think something else might be better, I couldn't say.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We're going to head back now to Brookings. If there's anybody there, is there anybody in Brookings to testify?
I don't think we have anybody left here to testify. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And in Roseburg, how many more people do we have to testify in Roseburg?
Just one left.
Just one, okay. It looks like we have just under 10 more people to go, members of the committee, so if you'll just keep that in mind, which gives us about 30, 40 minutes of testimony to go. So keep that in mind when asking questions.
Why don't we do the Roseburg if there's only one?
Yeah. Okay, we'll move to Roseburg. You'd like to state your name and spell it for the record.
Good morning. My name is Kathy Lim. That's K-A-T-H-E-Y, Lim, L-I-M-M. Co-chairs and members of the committee, I'd like to thank you for giving me this opportunity. I would like to talk about a problem that we just encountered when my granddaughter moved from Canyonville to Riddle. It's just a distance of almost 10 miles. But when she moved, she found that she was in another district. She was in House District 2, which is Central Douglas County, Roseburg area. And she is now in House District 1, which is the coastal area communities. her community of interest is in South Douglas, which we call Canyon Del Myrtle Creek and Riddle, and Roseburg, where she works, she goes to school, and shops, with Interstate 5 tying these communities together. House District 2, the coastal district, is divided from House District 1 by mountain range, with no easy access for her to a House District 2, to the coastal areas. She would have to drive about 1.5 to 2 hours to get to the same kinds of communities of interest, of which she only lives 5 to 25 minutes from now. She looks forward to reconnecting with her community of interest and hopes that you can reformulate the districts to be more conformative to the communities of interest. And I'd like to thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Ms. Lynn? Thank you very much. Okay, we're going to come back here to Coos Bay, and next on the list will be Matt Christensen, Richard Kiznowski, sorry, and Joe, let's see.
Coyne.
Yeah, come on up, Mr. Coyne. Thank you. Remember to state your name for the record. And maybe even spell it. Let's have one spell it. Thank you.
I'm Richard Kuznitsky, Kuznitsky, as in yes. And I'd like to say I appreciate all of you people willing to do the actual work of politics as opposed to just running for election. This is kind of what it's about, governing and getting the work done. I've lived in Coos County for 37 years, and I'm a self-employed designer-builder, and have built houses in Cannon Beach, Lincoln City, Gearhart, Sisters, built the fire station in Reedsport. And so I've had some experience, you know, working up and down the Oregon coast and a little bit across the state. There are a lot of things we have in common with all the rural areas, but the coastal areas have a lot in common with each other. And I think it's very important when we redistrict all of this that the coastal areas maintain a strong representation for our own interests, and I think those would serve the interests of the whole state as well. And it doesn't look like an easy task that you guys have in front of you, but that's about all I really have to say. I don't know how you would get the numbers to balance out, but I think going too far east is going to sort of, you know, start diluting the our voice. So thanks for showing up.
Thank you. Yes.
I'm Matt Christensen. I've lived in Coos Bay here. Oh, my spelling. Matt, M-A-T-T, Christensen, C-H-R-I-S-T-E-N-S-E-N. I've lived in Coos Bay area for 40 years. I've been a teacher here, retired. Been involved in a lot of the community affairs. I would like to offer, rather than all the testimony, I prepared some things in terms of the nature and the culture of our area and that we should stay together and so on. But I would like to offer a procedural suggestion. And that is, it's great that we're getting all the input on the front of your decision making. But I think that it would be really helpful to citizens to have you make 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 map suggestions. Here's what we think we can do. And then bring that back out to the citizens and say, okay, here's what we're thinking about. Right now, I'm looking at a Rubik's Cube. I'm looking at you know, a million possibilities. I would like to see some real possibilities on a map
and then have an opportunity to then respond to that rather than try to, you know, second guess what's going to happen. Now, I don't know what your time constraints are, nor do I understand the logistics of what I've suggested, but I think that it really would be an appropriate and good thing that you could do is to take whatever possible answers you have to this quandary and bring it back out to the public and say, okay, here's what we're thinking. Here's, you can take option A, B, C, and however many that you develop.
Thank you very much. I might take advantage of this opportunity to respond to that. Right now we're doing these field hearings, which are really a listening sessions. I think that we'll go back and we'll work on these and hopefully get a plan that we'll put out to the public in some form and be able to receive public input on those proposed plans. And I hope that that will happen. Thank you. Yeah, Senator Bonnici.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I also want to, as the Senate Chair of the Redistricting Committee, I also want to confirm what Representative Lindsay said, that it's important for us to listen to the communities now for when we are drawing the maps that will be the plans that, that will be proposed. So we want to get this input now rather than just starting to draw maps without this input, and we will have an opportunity for comment on proposed maps. Our time frame is to be finished. We must be finished by, I believe it's July 1st. Our plan is to have maps out after the field hearings are completed. Those will be available, I believe, online after we work together and come up with some proposals. So there will be more opportunity for input once we have some proposals out there to the public.
No, please don't misunderstand me. I really do appreciate the input on the front end of this process. I understand that. But I just seem incomplete not to do the other end of it.
Sure. Thank you.
Some more front-ending. My name is Joe Coyne, C-O-Y-N-E, and I'm a resident of Winchester Bay. Among other arts and service organizations, I'm head of Douglas County Cultural Coalition, and I'm also with the Winchester Bay Merchants. With the 2010 census comes the need to redistrict. I don't envy you. I'm here to speak about the 363 coastal miles. Living in unincorporated Winchester Bay, we already deal with issues of having a county seat that is over 80 miles away and thus mandating local purchasing practices and dealing on most levels with geographically closer entities. We are not aligned to the I-5 corridor. There has been no talk of secession, but it would be of interest to some of us. Our college is the Coastal College SWAC. It's been mentioned before, the South Coast ESD is where we go to get our information for the schools. The Oregon Tourist Commission recognizes the coastal interest with OCVA, Oregon Coast Visitors Association. There's also an Oregon Coast Council for the Arts that ties us together. Those are organizations all the work up and down the coast. And I'm just sort of reiterating, that's where our interest is, coastal. We have some issues, emergency preparedness issues, which the interior government agencies sometimes don't recognize, such as tsunamis, testing of sirens, emergency preparedness is sort of big with some of us now. This bipartisan coastal caucus recognizes interests and works towards those. Our common issues are fishing or lack thereof, the challenging and the changing nature of sport and charter fishing, a declining and aging populations that's up and down the coast. We also have underemployment and unemployment. We continually rely on tourism with many lower-paying jobs. That's becoming one of our main industries. But we need to be prepared to return, when possible, to the resource economy when it happens. We have unique alternative energy options. With Coos Bay being the largest city on the entire coast, we are very much rural up and down. As for boundaries, the western boundary is an easy one, Pacific Ocean. The natural boundary in the east is the coastal range. There are links, 101, up and down for transportation. In your deliberations, if you would keep these items in mind and try to make the groupings reflect this amalgamation of coastal interests. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for this panel? Thank you, gentlemen. Okay, our next panel here in Coos Bay will be Adela Robinson, Hank Steben, and Brenda Breck, or Brecky.
My name is Hank Stebbins. I want to thank you all for being here. Just really quickly, everything I think that I came to say has been said. Stebbins, S-T-E-B-B-I-N-S. Sorry about that. Just about the coastal communities being unique specifically, but you know, I just wanted to touch on, I think there's a lot of discussion a little bit about House District 1 and 9, and specifically that southern boundary. And if you look at, and you touched on the media, the world, specifically that paper, well, it covers the whole coast. Specifically, it's Coos Bay and mostly north. And when you look at Brookings and Curry County, generally that you're going to get the pilot down there, that paper. And while that's not, that shouldn't be the only measure you look at, but I think there is more of a connection perhaps between Curry County and inland. If you were going to have to choose one of those districts to go inland, I feel that perhaps it's the southern one that has more of a connection to those logging communities and things like that, and perhaps you know, the northern district is more connected to Florence and those areas. So that's just that point there. And then also someone touched on federally, Josephine County specifically, and they said that maybe it didn't have a lot in common with Benton County, and I would agree. So perhaps, you know, if Josephine County, maybe District 2 or something like that, I think is maybe more relevant rather than Benton County, just a response to that.
Thank you.
My name is Adela Robison, A-D-E-L-L-A, last name Robison, R-O-B-I-S-O-N, and maybe my credentials for coming today is it seems I've been a resident longer than anybody else that's talked. So I'm 55 years resident of Coos and Curry County, and it's always been Coos and Curry County to me, maybe because we belong to the Rural Electric, which is Coos Curry Electric, but I'm a cranberry farm owner, retired nurse. I've worked in both counties as a nurse and taught at SWOC here, and it's real important to us that the redistricting be with consideration for farming and the ruralness of our whole area. And it might be considered of coastal things. I know that the population will make the big difference, but I feel that in the past, a lot of the laws that have been made in Oregon have affected the fact that people left. And so we've had a lot of economic problems, and with the farming, the laws that have been made that caused hardships on us as farmers. And it's the same way about hiring people. Of course, we had to lay everybody off, and when you try to rehire, I called the state, and the things you have to go through just to hire somebody have been astronomical. And so I just hope that we get the good representation that we need. It's really bad when someone in an urban area decides who they want to run, and they maybe have no concern for us. And because of the number of population, they can decide what we get. And we know that, but it does cause hardships when there's no concern for our area. And also, I'd like to see a commission that was nonpartisan decide the redistricting as opposed to partisan reasons for doing it, as has happened in the past. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Good morning, and thanks for coming to our community. Appreciate that. I'm Brenda Brecke, B-R-E-C-K-E. I currently am an educational consultant, I'm retired from Southwestern Oregon Community College, and was former senator from Southwest District. And today you've heard a lot of testimony about the general nature of keeping the districts with common community interests. And I just want to share at a personal level that to make the lines, when you go to make the detailed lines between the districts, it's also important that those contain some common interest as well. And I'll give you my personal example of that. Currently, I live in House District 1. However, to get to House District 1, I have to travel through House District 9 to get there. There are back roads that possibly you could take, but I work in the Coos Bay District. My children went to school in the Coos Bay District, and my post office Coos Bay, and yet I am in House District 1. So as you draw those very detailed lines, I hope that you do consider the folks that are living in those areas and that they also have the need to be connected to their communities. Thank you.
Thank you. I might just want to mention one thing. We, as chairs of the redistricting committees, we met with the governor several weeks ago, and he mentioned one thing that struck me, and that was this is his fourth redistricting process that he's been through. And he mentioned that in the past, it's always been lopsided. One party or another is in control. This is a historical event that we have, where we have a equally united House, and also Senate President Courtney. He made sure that the Senate district had equal Republicans and equal Democrats on the Senate committee. And I think that shows the intent of this body to do a fair and bipartisan plan. And I hope that we can do that. And I'm very optimistic that we'll be able to achieve that. I've developed good relationships of trust with this group here, and I'm very optimistic that we can do it. Any questions for this panel?
Thank you. Again, thanks for coming.
Next up are Mike Klassen and Rodney Schilling. Has there been anybody else? Rodney Schilling is the last one on our list. Anybody else sign up here in Coos Bay to testify? All right, Mike Klassen and Rodney Schilling.
I'll go ahead and start for brevity. I'm Bandon City Councilor, drove up here half an hour, thought I was going to give a unique perspective that the coast should stay together. I'm amazed that there's such unanimity for it. It's wonderful.
If you'd repeat your name, please.
Mike Klassen.
And
C-L-A-A-S-S-E-N.
Thank you.
If we need to get concise, we're going to redraw the boundaries anyway. You know, and I really do appreciate this is a wonderful time for a bipartisan thing. It can take a lot of it out, and it can help small communities on the South Coast, which are a united group. You know, certainly up to Newport and things like that. I think when you get above that, you get Corvallis and Portland, which have closer ties to the coast because they're geographically closer to it. You know, people who have vacation homes in Bandon, you know they can't come over for just a weekend. It's too long. It's a half day drive over to where people are coming for their vacation homes over here. So if we have to end up with only two Senate districts or three Senate districts that are connected to the coast, I'd much prefer that to having people whose main interest or main population basis is over in the I-5 corridor, and that we would be a minority part of them. So just a plea for keeping the coast as tight as we can, and not trying to bring in population centers from the I-5 corridor to give us that. But a north-south stretch is much preferable to an east-west stretch. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Rodney Schilling, S-C-H-I-L-L-I-N-G. I'm a resident of Lakeside, Oregon, and I thank all of you for doing a job that I found that I don't really have the stomach for after being a member of the city council and mayor of Lakeside for the last couple of years. I'd like to thank especially Senator Verger and Representative Roblin for their hard work in representing the coast. I think that regardless of political connection, that they've worked very hard to represent us and have done a good job. That being said, and the fact that you are all have the job this time of doing the redistricting, the process itself is what I would like to address as an individual. And as an individual, I'm here, and my circle of friends are individualists for the most part. We don't necessarily come together as a group, but we are out there. Some of you probably have more than half of your constituents that are individuals that don't necessarily belong to a party. The fact that you do have to do this process this time, my primary concern is that you do it fair and equitably. And as individuals, we're somewhat cynical a lot of times, as Representative Lindsay has stated that he is sure that a fair and equitable job can be done due to the makeup of the folks that are doing it. We individuals see a lot of the fox in the hen house in the process. You all got here politically through a process that starts with this redistricting. And my main concern is that the perception of impropriety that we see of the folks that end up representing us, writing the laws and putting the laws into effect, have the initial part of the process that puts the individuals into that responsibility. I tend to ramble a little bit, so hopefully it's making sense. But if an independent commission were put together to put this process, that perception of impropriety would be taken out of it. And a lot of us individuals would be a lot happier in that regard to see that there is some separation here. I see that I'm in the red light, so thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Speaker Rowland.
Ask a question about... I have never seen an independent committee put together anywhere, so I don't know how you get that. We have a group that's trying to come up with a way to do ballot measures that finally decided the only way to get an independent group to ask questions was to make the committee the most non-independent you could find and just put really partisan people on both sides so that they had to work together to get to an independent kind of conversation. I am pleased, and I want to concur with Representative Lindsay. When you have equal numbers of people who are working hard to work together to come, I think that's the best chance. I don't know how you define independent. So if you could give me an understanding of what you mean by an independent party, that's what I'd like to... Because I've been wrapping my head around this for a long time. So if you can answer that question, we've talked a lot together, so I appreciate it, and that's why I wanted to ask the question. Because I've never been able to figure out how to make that.
Well, I do see the difficulty in it because almost everybody has an agenda. And from the perception from the outside of politicians is that their agendas are, I mean, when you go to Salem and watch the sausage being made, you see a very polarized group, even from the way the offices are set up, that we're in power this time, they're in power next time, blah, blah, blah. But politicians are seen as somewhat polarized individuals. Even though a lot of them are centrists, when they get to Salem, by virtue of the fact that they want to be reelected, that they want to represent their communities, they have to play ball in a polarized field. I just think that a group outside of that, and I understand that from judges and everybody that is put into that position, it would be very difficult. And wrapping your mind around it is hard, but having politicians do it from the very onset kind of taints.
I just want to make one comment. I understand that feeling. I hope that more people would come to places like this and watch, because here you have represented people from all those perspectives, and it's an open process, and it can't be more open. And eventually you'll see lists, you'll see drawings, and it'll be open. And that's what we do. And I appreciate this time, but we do have this very even group. I mean, that's the way it's set up. So I keep looking for that, as I haven't found anything better than what we do. And I've never said that our government is perfect, but I will tell you that having real honest conversations and having the debate is the most important thing, and having this group bring their perspective to the table and have to kind of figure out where that is. Once you put another independent group together, everybody's going to be wondering, where'd that person come from? How'd that person get appointed? Where'd that person? I mean, because they don't have to identify where they're coming from. Everybody sitting on this group and these committees has an identification about where they come from and where the stuff is. I think that's a positive thing, and I wish more people came and partook of this and understood how hard these people are working to try to find that and make that work. So that's, I got this.
Thanks. We're looking for that magic wand.
Yeah.
Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Co-Chair Lindsay. I wanted to thank Co-Speaker Roblin for his remarks, but I also wanted to refer everyone to the resource that Co-Chair Lindsay talked about, the Citizen's Guide to Redistricting, which he has in his hand, but is also linked through our legislative website. We actually had the author of that guide testify at a couple of our early committees when we were getting a lot of background information about redistricting. And in that guide, it talks about the models that various states use. And it really is diverse all over the country regarding how each state redistricts. There are many states that do have independent commissions. I believe that, and one of my colleagues here might know the details, but I believe that there was a proposal to put that on the ballot here in Oregon recently, and I think it did not get enough signatures, perhaps. It's my understanding that many of the independent commissions use retired judges. But Representative Roblin has a point about people don't really know where they're coming from, and this is a very open process. I have no doubt that when we're finished with our work, we will do a sort of debriefing and look at how things went and whether there need to be statutory changes for the next round. So we're really considering all these comments and appreciate your testimony. But I also refer everyone to look at that Citizen's Guide to Redistricting for ideas about how other states do their work. Thank you.
Thanks. Any other questions for this panel? Okay, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Speaker Roblin, did you want to testify?
I'll just take a moment, and I appreciate very much the request. I believe you have as difficult a job, if not the most difficult, in the session this year. The budget's going to be tough, too, but your ability to work together and come up with a solution is really important. And I've spent a lot of time thinking about community's interest here, and you heard almost all of the ones that I would have expressed here. And so it doesn't make it a lot easier. The other thing I always remember, when I first came to Coos Bay to teach, one of the things that they said is, you just have to understand how the coast is set up. The stagecoach issue was one. The other issue is, look for fresh water and streams that come out, and you'll find a city at each one of them. And that's how we also do it. And the other one was, when they were dividing up the state and made counties, they decided that their community of interest was a port to the sea. So if you look at Douglas County, it goes over to Rhodes. If you look at Florence, it goes over to Langham. I mean, everybody wanted to have a shipping channel to get to the rest of the world. And that kind of went away for a while because you could ship from kind of any place and the big transportation hubs were the others. I believe that's coming back. I mean, I think that ocean transportation and ports are going to be really important. And that's why I was really appreciative to hear people talk about the Port of Coos Bay, which I think is going to have a different influence over time with our state with regard to economics and so on. But the other ports may be important, too, and they certainly are important to them. And if we are going to do things like wave energy, which was mentioned, then ports like Siusla and Reedsport, you're going to have people who go out there and service those facilities. Just like our fishermen, they are attributed to a port. I mean, that's where their home port is. You can see it on the back of their boats. So it is a difficult decision to figure out which community's interest are there. And as a high school principal, my community of interest was Midwestern League, because that's who we work with. But if you go to North Bend, they had a different community of interest with respect to their league. And so all of those things overlap, and you're going to have a difficult time, and I don't envy it. And I appreciate the fact that actually the co-speaker Hannah, myself, and the Senate President really felt this was an important opportunity for all of us when it comes to the divisions that exist and setting up a committee that's really, we're saying to you guys, think about all those things, and I hope you continue to think about all of them. At some point, lines have to get drawn, and I hope that they get done in ways that all the people here who came and talked to you have an influence on. So I just thank you for that. Thanks for being here in Coos Bay. And if you don't have to go home early, you know, you can spend the rest of the weekend here. It's a great place to spend time. And understand.
Stay and play an extra day.
Stay and play an extra day.
Copied it from Southern Oregon.
So thank you all.
Okay, thank you. Before we end, we've received some testimony without public testimony, and so I'd like to read that in the record. We have written testimony from Harold Titus of Lane County, Florence, received by the redistricting staff on April 2nd, 2011, and also written testimony from Martin and Shirley Kearns of Medford, Jackson County, received on the same date, April 2nd, 2011. I'd also like to thank everybody who came today. This is just absolutely marvelous to hear from you and to receive your input. Thank you kindly. And also like to give special thanks to all the members of the committee. All we did was drive up and walk in here, and the desks were set up, the mics were up, and the videos were up, and we have wonderful staff. And so thank you, staff, here locally in Coos Bay, and also Cody Norris and Elise Lackey and Robin Wisdom in Roseburg, and Alita Mankamer in Brookings. Thank you all. And with that said, actually one other thing, to continue following this redistricting process and also to submit written testimony via email, again, here is the website to do so, www.leg.state.or.us/redistricting. And with that said, I'll now close the House Committee on Redistricting.
And I will close the Senate Committee on Redistricting.